running an immigration court versus running a state court is very, very different. That's why, you know, the WebEx hearings or Zoom hearings aren't such a great idea. There, you do have unrepresented people even in civil courts, and those Zoom hearings are going forward. But I think it's probably even harder for an immigration court to try to set that up with a bunch of unrepresented people. That's what I assume.
Well, and that's the other thing that is really key in this practice is it's not like state court, because every single immigration court is different. We certainly do not have uniform rules in any immigration court in the country. Years ago, they came up with an immigration court manual where they were trying to create this uniformity, at least amongst immigration courts nationwide. But then COVID happened, and then every judge started creating their own local rules. And now there's standing orders in every court. And now every judge has their own particular standing orders. So this is something that is constantly changing. And so before you go to any immigration court in anywhere in the United States, you need to make sure that you get on that EOIR website. And I think we're going to have that information as to where you log on. But this is from the get-go. From the minute that you decide you're going to take an immigration court case, you need to figure out where you are and what is the lay of the land, what court is it in, who's the judge, what are the ground rules in that courtroom. I was in court just the other day, and an attorney walked in. She had all her witnesses. She goes to the window, and she says, "My case is not on the docket. We came from Houston." And the clerk says, "Well, you're not on the docket." She goes, "Well, what do you mean? I've been set for however long." And the clerk says, "Oh, no, your case was automatically canceled. We sent you a notice saying that your hearing had been canceled, and that hearing had been vacated, and there's new court rules, and there's a standing order, and that you had to follow this, 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 and this." And she says, "Well, I didn't receive that. Where did you send it?" And she says, "Well, we sent it right here to your office." And she's like, "Oh, well, we moved." And it just turned into a huge disaster. And all her witnesses had traveled. Her client had traveled. It looked really bad on the attorney. The likelihood is she did not receive it. Why she didn't have somebody in her office pick up the phone and check the 800 number a couple of days before she prepped to go to court, I don't know. It's, you know, just an honest mistake probably. But that's the kind of practice it is. You better have your checklist. You better do all of those basic things that you might not think about on a daily basis. That's the type of practice that removal proceedings are. So you always have to do the basics.
And I'm glad you brought up standing orders, because that's kind of a new facet to the practice. This is something that we can update from last year and the years before. Because there's so few master calendar hearings going on, some of these judges are trying to take care of the issues that you would take care of in a master calendar through written pleadings and other order, other things that will come in there in an order, a standing order. I've been receiving a lot of requests to file for written pleadings. Now, sometimes, most of the time, my written pleadings are no, deny, and what of it? You have to follow the instructions pretty carefully and make sure that those get filed. Of course, there are always problems with service and delivery of EOIR mail, because they just mail regular. And the e-filing, I've been on the website and I've done an e-filing now. I'm not terribly impressed with it. We'll see how it goes. There is a very basal form of e-filing being started with EOIR. You can go in. It's a pain. You will get locked out 50 times before you finally get someone on the phone and help you log on to the EOIR website. But there you can see your cases. You can see all your cases. You can see when they're set for, and then you can also upload documents and e-file using this system. Unfortunately, because there is very little continuity amongst courts, some judges want them e-filed, some judges mandate that they e-filed, some judges still want the paper copies. So you know, you still end up having to call, you know, your friends in Dallas when you have a case in Dallas, but don't be afraid to do that. Reach out to practitioners in that area if it's in a a court that you don't have quite as much familiarity with. Reach out to immigration attorneys in that area and ask them. That's the best way to know what to do, who prefers what. You can also call the court clerk, which, you know, reserve about 2.5 hours to do that while they switch you around or transfer your call. But that's helpful too. So, you know, when you do finally have a hearing, those are the three types of hearings that, you know, for the most part, you're going to have before a judge.